There is still a lot that we do not know about the effects of climate change on our world. NASA and the Air Force are teaming up to learn more of those facts, and they've called on a very special team of students from the University of Georgia for help. The team will build two small satellites to be launched into space. Caleb Adams is part of that project, and we heard from him a few months ago, actually, when he came on the show to discuss his fraternity-style house for hackers. He joins us by Skype from Portland, Oregon. Welcome back, Caleb.
Hello.
So they gave you guys competed for a grant. They gave you $200,000. Did that turn out to be enough to build this satellite?
So it's pretty much enough. The only issue is there are other things involved aside from just building the satellite that we have to account for, such as ground stations and clean rooms and such. And so that's not covered in the costs, but we are finding other ways to cover those costs as well.
How big? This is a cube satellite, and I assume that means it's shaped like a cube? Is that a fair assumption?
That is a fair assumption, yes.
Okay. How big is it?
The way I usually describe them is they're about the size of a Coke can. Ours, in particular, is a 3U CubeSat, so that's about the size of three Coke cans.
So it's a three, like if you turned smushed three Coke cans into a cube shape is what you're saying, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay. It would be that long.
And that cost $200,000. I assume there's a lot of very advanced technology in it. So what was the biggest challenge in your design of this?
Well, the biggest challenge is definitely that we're undergraduate students and we're still learning how to do this. And that's part of the beauty of it. So we were selected by the NASA USIP, which is this Undergraduate Student Instrument Project. So NASA is allowing undergrads at different universities across the country to actually build their own spacecraft. And that's very cool, but definitely the most challenging part because we have to go through all the same design processes that actual NASA engineers or actual Air Force engineers would go through to build a spacecraft.
Now, this is the CubeSat Launch Initiative, and it's going to send these satellites into low Earth orbit. I'm told you're trying to watch patterns in vegetation and ocean waters. What data will a satellite collect?
Yeah, that is correct. It's going to collect vegetation health. It's going to look at the primary productivity and ocean productivity, and also look at near coastal sediment and other organic matter. And it's going to do this with a multispectral imager. So it's looking outside the range of the visible spectrum of light to tell how our coastal ecosystems are changing as climate change is affecting them more rapidly.
Is that in terms of trying to measure how high waters are rising along the coasts?
It can do that. It can also detect, maybe you can imagine that there is sediment runoff and other chemical runoffs from farms. It can look at the productivity of these farms and then detect where the runoff is going. It can detect how that's affecting ecosystems and so on and so forth.
My guest is University of Georgia student Caleb Adams. And if you have questions about climate change, it's a confusing topic in many time, at many stages along the development. And I know some people feel like scientific studies have been in disagreement at times. So if you are confused, what are your questions? You can tweet us now at OST Talk. Caleb, how do you respond to people's questions about climate change, especially when it comes to the impression some people still have that scientific opinion is divided?
Well, I guess the biggest thing is just to let people know that climate and weather aren't the same thing. So if, you know, it's supposed to be super hot, but it snows where you are, that's your local weather. That is not, that doesn't imply that the entire system is not warming overall. And it is. And each year after year, we've been having the warmest year after year for, I guess, the past 12 years now. I'm an engineer. I'm not a climate researcher.
Yeah.
So, that's what they've told me.
Do you get the sense that NASA will actually use the data that you collect, or do you feel like this is more encouraging young students of science and engineering?
Oh, well, we're certainly going to use the data we collect at the University of Georgia as well. So this is data that we'll have available to all scientists and our own researchers at the University of Georgia. As a matter of fact, we started this CubeSat project by going to researchers at the University of Georgia and asking them, what's some useful information you would like? And they actually can use this data to help out a lot.
What did they answer? What was the data that they wanted?
Well, they decided that having a multispectral imager on our CubeSat would be able to look at shelf waters and salt marshes, as I mentioned, the runoffs.
Yeah.
But a lot of their research overlaps in that area. So that's what we decided on doing.
So you're part of the engineering, and I wonder, I mean, with something that small, to go through such an incredible experience in terms of passing through the atmosphere, how do you protect that little satellite?
Well, the satellite, when it goes through the atmosphere, is going to burn up in the end. So initially, it actually is going to go up to the space station. So it's going to go up on a Falcon 9 or a Russian Soyuz or a Japanese.
It's going to get a ride on a taxi to the International Space Station.
That is correct. It is going a one-way taxi to the International Space Station, and then it's going to be shot off the side of the International Space Station, and then it's going to start performing science.
So you didn't have to design it to be able to withstand a trip through the atmosphere?
Not through the atmosphere, but it has to be able to withstand the stresses of the liftoff of the rocket. And it also has to be able to withstand the stresses of shooting off the International Space Station and other thermal stresses, because it gets very, very hot and very, very cold very, very rapidly in space. So we have to design it for those things instead.
And how much of a challenge was that, to not only build it that durable and able to withstand those kind of pressures and temperature changes, but also include all of the very advanced technology in order to collect the data that you needed?
Well, it's so challenging, we're actually still working on it. So,
when is it expected to be done?
2018 is when it's expected, yeah.
And how do you test it before you send it up?
We do a lot of simulations. As I mentioned, the kind of thermal properties, we do some thermal simulations in our lab. We're also working on building magnetic testing rates.
Wait. A thermal testing, that means you're putting it in the freezer and then sticking it in an oven?
Yes. We start with simulations.
Yeah.
And then we stick it in a freezer and we stick it in an oven. And we also stick it in a vacuum chamber. So there are a bunch of fun mad scientist things we get to do as undergrads. That's really great.
Yeah. It sounds more official when you say you're doing thermal testing, though, than I'm putting my satellite in an oven.
Yes.
Okay. Sorry. I interrupted your flow. You were talking about how soon after you complete it, it might actually be shot out of the International Space Station.
Mm-hmm. Well, we expect that time will be shorter than the development period. So the development period is 2 years. So we have 2 years to complete the satellite, and then it will be sent to the space station, and then from there deployed, and then science begins. And we'll actually have a ground station at UGA that undergraduates are operating to communicate with the satellite, tell it what to do, and get the data back.
What year are you in school?
I am a senior, but I have one more year because I'm double majoring. So,
but it's 2016, and if you have another year, that means you start here and then finish next summer.
Mm-hmm.
So you
that
won't,
is correct.
Will you'll be gone from the University of Georgia by the time the satellite's finished?
I personally don't know where I'm going to end up. I could go to grad school and finish up the project if I wanted. I could go to a NASA center and work if I wanted to try to go that route. Ames has a bunch of cool stuff going on there. But in general, this is an undergraduate project. And one of the things that me and my team are trying to do is structure it so that way undergrads can continue to have the same benefits that we've had and the same great learning experiences that we've had with the project. So I do think it's necessary to pass it on to other undergraduates.
Although you must be developing an emotional attachment to your little 3-can satellite.
Oh, I definitely do.
Do you guys have a nickname for it?
Well, it's called Spock. We nickname it Dog Sat because it's like the university's satellite.
Yeah, DAWG Sat, right?
That is correct.
Yeah. Why do you call it Spock?
Well, that stands for Spectral Ocean Color Satellite.
So. Oh, that's way less exciting than just that you guys really like Star Trek.
I also really like Star Trek, so that's part of the reason.
So has this done, I mean, yes, you're going to collect great data, but I wonder if it has done what NASA probably hoped it would do, which would be to get the next generation of astronauts, astrophysicists, and engineers interested in space exploration. Has it accomplished that?
Well, I think it definitely is, because it's kind of having a runoff effect. NASA, when it gives out these grants, does a lot to add to kind of local economies and local intellectual institutions. And so we were funded by this, but because of that, we're able to have a lab for undergraduates where they can learn to make spacecraft, and that's going to continue on. We also have a large social media presence where we have podcasts and we interact with the public. We're going to start giving public talks about space at the University of Georgia. And so it very much does start kind of the process of getting people more interested in science and getting the public involved. And that's something that we like a lot as well.
That's Caleb Adams. He is a student at the University of Georgia. Caleb, it's a pleasure. Thanks.
Thank you.